can be found in the Pew Bibles in the New Testament section on page 252. Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much. Well, as Jonathan has said, today is the last one in our sermon series on living free. But the main point of this talk is that it's not the end of living free. So if you're still with me at this point, you're doing very well. You have heard the main point of the sermon. The prayers that we've been praying over the past weeks have been significant. But living in freedom is not ultimately about a one-off prayer time. It's about lifestyle. How we live matters, doesn't it? It matters to us. Most of us want to make the most of our lives. It matters to those around us. They have to deal with the consequences of our behaviour. And it matters to God. Like any good father, God wants to see his children reach their potential. So we've devoted this month of June to this theme of living free. We want to live free from any patterns of behaviour that hold us back or spoil our lives. In the Sunday services, we've looked at anger, fear, passivity, and insignificance. And many of the midweek small groups have used additional worksheets to tackle other areas. Now, just to do a brief recap, and especially so that those who are here for the first time today know what we're talking about, let me just remind you that we've been using the 5 R's model of prayer. So that's the first R is recognize. We recognize our sin. Then the second R is repent. We turn away from it. The third R is receive. We receive God's forgiveness, which wipes the slate clean. Fourthly, we rebuke the enemy who seeks to energize and strengthen negative patterns of behavior. And fifthly, we replace. Replace the old behavior with new. Today, we're going to focus on that final R, replace. If you were here the last couple of weeks, you'll know that when we dealt with anger, we committed ourselves to replacing anger with forgiveness. Last week, we replaced fear with faith. Now, our passage in Colossians uses the image of getting changed from one set of clothes to another. We're to take off our old behaviour like an old suit of clothes, and we're to replace it with new clothes, things like compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and forgiveness. It reminds me of a cycling holiday that I went on in France a few years ago. At the end of every day, as you can probably imagine, our clothes were dirty and sweaty and smelly. Each evening, we would stop, have a shower, and put on nice clean clothes before going out for dinner. It felt fantastic to put on those clean clothes. Now, those of us who have participated in the 5 hours prayers over the last few weeks have already taken off our old clothes and replaced them with new clothes. The question for today is, how do we keep going? How do we make sure that the prayers we've prayed turn into a lasting lifestyle? A young police officer was taking his final exam at Hendon Police College in North London, and this was apparently one of the questions. You are on patrol in outer London when an explosion occurs in a gas main in a nearby street. On investigation, you find that a large hole has been blown in the footpath and there is an overturned van lying nearby. Inside the van, there is a strong smell of alcohol. Both occupants, a man and a woman, are injured. You recognise the woman as the wife of your divisional inspector, who is at present away in the States. A passing motorist stops to offer you assistance, and you realise that he is a man who is wanted for armed robbery. Suddenly, a man runs out of a nearby house shouting that his wife is expecting a baby and the shock of the explosion has made the birth imminent. Another man is crying for help, having been blown into an adjacent canal by the explosion, and he cannot swim. Bearing in mind the provisions of the Mental Health Act, describe in a few words what actions you would take. The officer thought for a moment, picked up his pen and wrote, "I would take off my uniform and mingle with the crowd." Now that's what we want to avoid. When things get tough, we don't want to take off our new clothes and fall straight back into our old ways. We've gone to quite a bit of effort to break free of sinful patterns of behaviour, so now we want to live in that freedom. We want to enjoy it. God offers us so much more than just survival, that sense of getting by that many people live with. He offers us life in abundance. We can be more than conquerors, no matter what life throws at us. And he offers us the opportunity to do something amazing. Because although living free starts with us, it doesn't end with us. We're free for a purpose. God wants us to be part of redeeming and restoring the world. Just imagine for a moment if our whole church, so everyone who's here today and everyone who's coming to the other services, imagine if we all truly lived free with no sin holding us back. How powerful would that be? How quickly would we start to see Leamington being changed? You'll know probably that this is our church vision statement. I think we would start to see the sort of things that we've put in our church vision statement. Church is recognised as people of joy, love and generosity. Others drawn to God through us. Thousands becoming disciples of Jesus. Families, workplaces and local communities changed. The whole atmosphere of the town filled with the love of God. Let me ask you, do you believe it could happen? It's a big vision, but we have a big God, and we are his children, forgiven for the past and set free for a glorious purpose. Surely anything is possible. So how do we do it? That's what we're thinking about today. How do we do it? Well, I don't know if this is going to be a disappointment or a relief to you, but there's no magic formula. We can't reduce the Christian life to a set of action points. Do these five things and you'll get the life you always wanted. Life is obviously much more profound than that. We are creative, multidimensional beings. Life in abundance is rich and varied. So we don't develop it via a sterile list of do's and don'ts. At the heart of living in freedom is our relationship with God. So we need to pursue intimacy with God and invest time and energy in that relationship. All the classic Christian disciplines are great tools for us. It's very helpful, for example, to spend regular time every day, if we can, reading the Bible and praying. As we said last week, the Bible tells us the truth about God. So it's like fuel for our faith. If we're trying to replace lies that we've learnt to believe with the truth, then the Bible is the way to go. Reading it regularly and prayerfully helps us to renew our minds. Just a little word of warning on this one. Don't fall into the trap of thinking that you're only spending time with God when you're sitting down having a quiet time with your Bible. God's much bigger than that. He's always with us. We can share our whole day with God as we go through it. If we're enjoying something, thank him. If we're struggling, ask for his strength and his wisdom. When I was a student, I went to Uganda as part of a Tearfund team. We had to fly from the capital Kampala in the south to our destination in the north as the roads were too vulnerable to rebel attacks. We went in a very tiny little plane, I think it was 6 seats, and it was run by MAF, which is a Christian group. It stands for Mission Aviation Fellowship, and they fly relief and development organizations to remote places. Once we'd all been loaded into the plane, which was very complicated with a small plane because you have to put the heaviest people at the front, the pilot suggested that we pray together for our journey. We were all rather alarmed that he felt that was necessary. But 2 months later, when we came to make the return journey, it seemed entirely natural. We had by then adopted the prayerful pattern of our hosts, praying together briefly throughout the day, at the start of journeys, when we sat down for a meal, as we began a new task. As a result, we'd all become more aware of God's presence in our daily life. It became easier to notice and to appreciate God's goodness and all his blessings. So Bible reading and prayer are vital tools for us. Another classic practice which helps us to live free is to belong to the local church. It's hard on your own. We all need the support of other people, a community or a team. You've probably heard the story of a man who lost his first enthusiasm for Christ. He went to see a wise old man about it, and they were sitting having a discussion in front of an open fire. As they were sitting there, the old man took the tongs and took a coal out of the fire and put it on the hearth. Very quickly, the coal went black and cold. After a while, he picked it back up and he put it back in the fire when it quickly started to glow red and hot again. Now, of course, you're all here in church already. Well done. That's excellent. You're making use of the Christian disciplines. But belonging to a church doesn't just mean coming on Sundays. To get the maximum benefit, we need to be involved and committed. The best way, I think, to get involved in the life of St. Paul's is to join a small group. Small groups provide an opportunity to get to know a few people really well. Those are the people who can encourage you to keep going when things are tough, and they can hold you accountable. So if you're not in a small group, do consider it. Would it be possible for you to join one? If you've been here for a while and you already know which group you'd like to join, just go and chat to the leader directly. Otherwise, you can get in touch with me and I'll make some suggestions. Now, alongside being in a small group, many people also find it helpful to have a prayer partner or a mentor. My main encouragement on this topic this morning is to think about it. What would help you to keep growing spiritually. And then take responsibility for making it happen. Ask God to help you identify the right person to approach, and then go and ask them. So reading the Bible, praying, belonging to church, as we've said, they're classic spiritual disciplines, so they're probably very familiar to most of us. But I think it is good to review them every now and again, and especially to check that we are actually doing them. If we keep meaning to get around to joining a small group, it really doesn't have the same effect as actually joining one. We need to do them, to put them into practice. All these disciplines help us to stay close to God, to hear his voice, to grow spiritually. They're helpful for all of us as we seek to live in freedom. But we also need to pay attention to the specifics of what God's doing in our own lives. By using the 5 R's model of prayer, and particularly the worksheets, many of us have discovered sinful patterns of behaviour in our lives that we were previously unaware of. Can I encourage you to think that through in some detail? It's probably good to focus on one area at a time so we don't get overwhelmed. Has there been one particular stronghold that's really struck you? Maybe a worksheet where you ticked lots of boxes, or an issue that you were surprised to discover that you had? Then we need to pay attention to both our minds and our behaviour. So starting with paying attention to our minds. When you've identified this particular stronghold or the area that you want to work on, think through, are there particular lies that you've come to believe? What's the truth? Can you find particular Bible verses that proclaim that truth? BibleGateway.com is very helpful if you are struggling to remember or locate particular verses. Sometimes it's helpful to do something very practical. For example, take a sheet of paper, draw a line down the middle. On the left, write down the lie or the pattern of thought that you're struggling with. On the right, write the truth, preferably straight from the Bible. Those are then key Bible verses for you at the moment. So learn them, hold on to them, maybe put them as your screensaver or something like that. As we seek to absorb God's truth, it's also very helpful to engage our imaginations, just as Jesus did when he used images and stories in his teaching. God created us with imagination. Like the rest of us, it needs redeeming and cleansing. Some people suffer from an imagination almost devoid of godly, wholesome, and beautiful imagery. But why not bring your key Bible verses to God and ask him to give you holy imagery to express that truth in picture form? Then you can ponder the image and meditate on it. It's another way of getting the truth inside us. So that's our minds. Next, we need to pay attention to our behaviour. Think through, how has your old mindset affected your behaviour? Or to ask it a different way, how has the stronghold played out in your life? What would living in the opposite spirit look like in your life? Then you can be active and purposeful. Ask God to fill you with his Holy Spirit, to give you the ability to live like that. Pray it every day until the new behaviour becomes entirely natural for you. And be aware that this is a spiritual battle. Satan does not want us to enjoy our freedom. He will try to tempt you back. He'll try to persuade you that you've not made any progress and there's no point in trying. Don't listen to him. Whenever you need to, just pray through the 5 R's again. Recognize what's going on. Repent of where you've fallen short. Receive forgiveness. Rebuke Satan in no uncertain terms. Resist him, and he will flee from you. And replace. Commit yourself once again to your new pattern of behavior. Ask God to fill you afresh with his Holy Spirit so you can live out your freedom. So just to recap, How do we live in freedom? Well, remember that image in Colossians was of changing from our old clothes into new clothes. How do we make sure that we stick with our new clothes, that we keep them on? Well, we start by making sure that we're making full use of all the classic spiritual disciplines, things like reading the Bible, praying, going to church. And with specific strongholds, we also pay attention to both our minds and our behaviours. Paying attention to our minds means taking the time to identify specific lies that need replacing with specific truths. Paying attention to our behaviour means thinking through what our lives will look like as we succeed in changing our behaviours and living in freedom. And lastly, we remember that this is a spiritual battle. We don't try to do it in our own strength. We ask God to fill us with his spirit so that we can overcome all the schemes of the enemy and live in freedom. So we're going to make a start on that right now. Now, obviously, I've been talking about a process, and there are things that you'd probably want to do at home, either with a prayer partner or on your own, maybe with your small group. But what I think we could do right now this morning is ask God to help us identify what area is the one that he really wants to work on with us in our lives at the moment. And then we can ask him to fill us with his spirit, to equip us for all that lies ahead, so that we can truly go through this process and live in freedom. So can I ask you to stand? The band would like to come back and get ready. We're going to pray together.